Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to our Old Testament reading in Esther, not Exodus, but Esther, chapter 6. Esther, chapter 6, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. On that night could not the king sleep. And he commanded to bring the book of records of the Chronicles, and they were read before the king. And it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, keepers of the door, who sought to lay hand on the king Ahasuerus. And the king said, "What honor and dignity hath been done to Mordecai for this?" Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, "There is nothing done for him." And the king said, "Who is in the court?" Now Haman was come into the outward court of the king's house to speak unto the king to hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had prepared for him. And the king's servants said unto him, "Behold, Haman standeth in the court." And the king said, "Let him come in." So Haman came in. And the king said unto him, "What shall be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor?" Now Haman thought in his heart, "To whom would the king delight to do honor more than to myself?" And Haman answered the king, "For the man whom the king delighteth to honor, let the royal apparel be brought, which the king useth to wear, and the horse that the king rideth upon, and the crown royal which is set upon his head. And let this apparel and horse be delivered into the hand of one of the king's most noble princes, that they may array the man withal, whom the king delighteth to honor, and bring him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaim before him, 'Thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delighteth to honor.'" Then the king said to Haman, "Make haste, and take the apparel and the horse, as thou hast said, and do even so to Mordecai the Jew, that sitteth at the king's gate. Let nothing fail of all that thou hast spoken." Then took Haman the apparel and the horse, and arrayed Mordecai, and brought him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaimed before him, "Thus shall it be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor." And Mordecai came again to the king's gate. But Haman hasted to his house mourning and having his head covered. And Haman told Zeresh his wife and all his friends everything that had befallen him. Then said his wise men and Zeresh his wife unto him, "If Mordecai be of the seed of the Jews before whom thou hast begun to fall, thou shalt not prevail against him, but shalt surely fall before him." And while they were yet talking with him, came the king's chamberlains and hasted to bring Haman unto the banquet that Esther had prepared. May God add his reading, add his blessing, to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. All right. So the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as the rivers of water. He moveth it whithersoever he will, and he moved Ahasuerus that night to sleeplessness. There's a discussion as to why he called for the legal books. Maybe it was, "Read the statutes to me, and that'll put me to sleep for sure." Maybe it was that, or maybe he was somehow disquieted. Although things seemed to be going very well in his kingdom, there was some kind of disquiet. And so he's reading over the statute books, perhaps to understand what may be amiss in his kingdom, and he finds something that's amiss. There was a man that did him great favor, a man who was also one of the porters, right? A man who kept the door by the name of Mordecai. And he revealed a plot that he had overheard two of the king's men, Bigthana and Teresh, who had plotted against the king's life, and he made that known. And of course, they were taken out and dispatched. But nothing was done for Mordecai. Note something about Mordecai here. We never hear him complain about not being remunerated or recognized or given a medal or something for doing the king a good deed. Instead, what we see is him patiently waiting at the door, doing his job. Interesting. So, the king asks his chamberlains then, what honor has been done to Mordecai for this? And the king's servants that ministered to him said, there's nothing done for him. Well, they've been up all night at this. And now it's early in the morning, and Haman, eager to have his business done, appears early in King Ahasuerus' court. He has a business. We'll remember the errand from the last chapter. Somewhere in the last afternoon and evening, he has had a gallows built that is 75 feet high, 50 cubits high, and he's about to hang Mordecai on. It's this same Mordecai that is about to receive the king's favor. And so, people have asked if our God has a sense of irony. I think he does. This is a very ironic passage of Scripture. There are times when Haman's expectation is not just dashed, it's completely reversed. The irony of the pride of that man is put back in his face by the Lord. And yet, Haman does not change. He does not do what we read in the prophet, grab the skirt of a Jew and say, take me to Jerusalem. We have heard that God is with you. No, we don't hear that from Haman. All we hear is that same pinched concern about himself, his name, his glory, his riches, his children, his favor with the king and the queen. For Haman, it's truly all about Haman. So Haman's coming to the house. He's on an errand. He wants to get Mordecai hung. And so, verse 5, the king's servant said to him, behold, Haman standeth in the court. And the king said, let him come in. And he comes in, and he's full. He's full of a request. He comes in exactly opposite Esther did, right? Now, out of politeness, he waits for the king to speak, waits for the king to ask him what he wants, because he knows that if he's going to get what he wants, he must obey the proper decorum. And so, the king interrupts with his own proposal instead. What do you think should be done to a man that the king delights to honor? Suddenly, Haman forgets his errand. He forgets his errand altogether. Right? Because for him, the demise of Mordecai is all about his honor. And so if I can advance my honor, that's really what I'm after anyway. And so, oh, well, I know he's talking about me. He must be talking about me. Yeah, certainly he's talking about me. And so what he will do is he'll put together a list of things that he's always wanted. Oh, he's always wanted that. He's always wanted to sit on the king's prize horse. He's always wanted to put on that royal apparel and pretend he's king for a day. He's always wanted to wear that crown and to have somebody go before him and say, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delights to honor. This is what it means to be honored by the king. It's hard to exaggerate here. It's hard to get over past. It's hard to go over and beyond what Haman is really feeling. Yes. So sad is his estate. He can only think of his own advancement and pride. So Haman lays out the procedure. This is what you ought to do. Oh, I can see it now. It's going to be wonderful for this man. And so then the king says to him, excellent. Great idea. Capital idea. Haman, go get Mordecai and do exactly that. Except that he says one more thing. Go get Mordecai the Jew. Now, Haman's entire plan is in peril because Mordecai is recognized by the king in this chapter as a Jew, those that have now come under threat by a decree that Haman himself has set down and stamped with the king's ring. And so not only does Haman see his name not advanced to what he wanted to see it advanced to, he sees his plot now come into peril. And a man that he absolutely despises for his race, Haman. And because he would not honor him with obeisance, he will now ride before and announce him and dress him in the king's robes, crown, and putting on his robes. High irony indeed. So, this is what happens. They run through the streets. Then said the king to Haman, make haste and take the apparel and horse, as thou hast said, and do even to Mordecai the Jew that sitteth at the king's gate. Let nothing fail of what thou hast spoken. So he did. He took the apparel, the horse, and he arrayed Mordecai and brought him on horseback through the street of the city and proclaimed before him, thus shall it be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor. Here the modesty of the prophet that wrote Esther shines through. Nothing of the circumstances told. I would imagine that both men stood as stoics throughout the entire trip through town. Haman, the only words he could force from his lips were, thus shall it be done to the man to whom the king delights to honor. So they come back after they have made the tour through the streets. It's very interesting, the behavior of the two men when they come back. Mordecai, simply and without fanfare, returns to his station. Notice what he does not do. He does not plead audience with the king. He does not, quote, strike while the iron is hot, like Haman was trying to do. He does not insist upon his people at this point, but, much like Esther, has committed his case before the Lord and does not think it necessary for him to enter into the king's court and ask for the life of himself and his people. Doesn't think it necessary. He has seen the Lord's providential hand already turning the course. He is content with whatever happens, and he is content with, indeed, the turning that he has already seen. Back to his station he goes, in complete quietness, no fanfare, no swelling of his head, no demanding a continuation of the honors that he has received. Just back to his place. Haman, for his part, has a different response. Notice what it says. Haman hasted to his house mourning, having his head covered. And so we have a wonderful reversal. Just two chapters back, Haman was parading himself, and Mordecai was at the gate in sackcloth. Now Haman runs home in sackcloth with his head covered. So then, Haman told Zeresh, his wife, and all his friends everything that had befallen him. And his wise men and Zeresh, his wife, said to him, if Mordecai be of the seed of the Jews before whom thou hast begun to fall, thou shalt not prevail against him, but shall surely fall before him. And so what Haman sees is not just that he didn't get the honor he wanted. He sees his plan unraveling, and he sees that it's not going to go well for him. And so what does he need? Well, he needs a minute to think. He needs just a few minutes to sit down and devise a new plan. He's got that gallows. I just need to figure out how to get that done. And then there's a knock at the door. And who is it? It's the king's chamberlains. And they're going to take him to the second banquet. And that's where the chapter ends. So wonderful a story. As we said in the last hour or so, we say here, the name of God might not be in this book, but the finger of God is in every verse. Let's stand.